You're with Matt Preston on ABC Radio Melbourne.
It's the history theme, the famous ABC history theme. And with that theme comes Professor Andrew May, University of Melbourne historian, author of a book on the history of Expresso in this fine city. And we really taking as a kicking off point the idea that Sisto Malaspina's family, since his death in 2018, had been campaigning to rename Crosty Street. That's the lane that runs Lex to Pellegrini's, down past Becco. Rename it Sisto Way. The Melbourne City Council looked at the request and said it couldn't be done. But, Andrew, there's a long history of us changing names in the city, isn't there?
There is indeed. G'day, Matt. Good to talk to you. Look, I think on the question, can it be done? Well, it can be done, and it has been done a number of times before, however reluctant the council might be. But yeah, we've got a long history. In fact, some of the original street in the grid that was called Stephen Street, we now know as Exhibition Street. So imagine if we were to rename Collins Street or Swanston Street, you know, a street of that kind of reputation. It has been done before. And certainly a number of the smaller streets, the little lanes have been changed as well. So I think on that first question, can it be done? Yes, it can be done.
And I mean, Crosby Street's not the original lane. The original name was Romeo Lane, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, there was a pitch and pair of lanes. There was Crossley Street, which used to be Romeo Lane, and Liverpool Street, the next one up, used to be called Juliet Terrace. So we had Romeo Lane and Juliet Terrace, a lovely little a pair of namings there. But they developed somewhat seedy reputation by the 1870s or so, and furious ratepayers, you know, wrote to the council complaining about the dissolute behaviour of people living there. There were a lot of brothels, and the respectable people of Melbourne didn't like it. So yeah, Crossley Street used to be Romeo Lane.
And by naming Romeo Lane, renaming it Crossley Street, did it suddenly become a salubrious, lovely place where people in their bustles could wander?
Well, you know, actually, it was funny because when Exhibition Street was renamed, one of the city councillors said at the time that actually, you know, renaming the street is going to have absolutely no impact on the reputation of the street. So, I mean, look, there are other issues. One of the long-standing ones is that businesses in those lanes, other businesses would, you know, have to change their livery and their stationery and their directory entries and so on. So I think that's one thing that the council has been concerned about.
And that happened before, didn't it? That happened before with Condell's Lane.
Yeah, absolutely. Condell's Lane. We had lots of the little lanes. I think, Valence Lane was renamed, even at the northern end of the city and up near the cemetery. That used to be called, what we now know as Swanston Street up there, used to be called Madeline Street. Yarrabank Road became Batman Avenue in around the time of the First World War. So yeah, so it can be done.
I'm going to ask you to stop being the historian and be the passionate Melburnian. Being an aficionado of the Melbourne coffee scene, talk to us about Pellegrini's. Has a venerable place there.
Look, it certainly does, and I think, you know, not only does Pellegrini's have a kind of a foundational role in coffee, but of course coffee is so much linked to Melbourne history. So in that immediate post-war era, early 1950s, we obviously had the American soldiers in Melbourne during the Second World War, and of course the Americans drank far more coffee than we did. They had an influence in bringing the coffee flavour to Melbourne. But those early Italian immigrant families were critical. We had the importation of the Gargia machine by Peter Bancroft and the Bancroft family. They opened the first espresso bar in Melbourne, Il Cappuccino, down in St Kilda, but they then sold the machines to Pellegrini's, University Cafe, Don Camillo's and so on. So Pellegrini's is you know, it's still there. It's still a Melbourne institution. So there's a strong argument that that we might give it a little more recognition through this move.
Do you think it's right that we should honour people this way by naming streets after them?
Look, I think it's cyclical and it's seasonal. I mean, the argument against it might be, well, what about poor old William Crossley, the butcher for whom yeah. it was named originally? So, you know, I mean, the city is like a, you know, we're constantly rewriting bits of the city and rubbing other bits out, but, you know, and we have memory and we have historical records and so on. So the argument against it might be, well, where's it end and who decides, you know, who does it? And if there's too much of it, it could destabilise our sense of history. But yeah.
So who gets to choose the names? I mean, is it the municipal council? Is it the person who develops the area?
It's a municipal responsibility. So, and often, I mean, across Melbourne, often it'll be developers or subdividers who get to do that. I mean, my favourite example is in Nutterwadding. There was a street called Colbar Street. It was named by an orchardist after his kids, Colin and Barbara, Colbar Street. and that was actually renamed in the 1970s to Efron Street. So, you know, there is a long history of it, but it is the council ultimately who has the power.
And named after Zac Efron?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was named after, but the daughter of the original orchardist was very upset that the street was renamed because, you know, again, it sort of memorialised her family. So, but that was developers who originally did the subdividing.
Professor Andrew May, University of Melbourne historian, thank you so much for discussing street names.